We're in a transitional time. Transitional time is taking course everywhere. Not only in our country, but it's happening in our states. It's happening in our cities. It's happening in our world, ourselves, our lives. Some of us are transitioning. And change, which means transition, isn't always comfortable, but necessary. And we're believing for change. We're believing for what the Word of God has spoken from the beginning of in January, that He's already, He warned us that two families were going to be removed. And that has happened. And and you know, we didn't expect the families that were touched. And God has redirected them for whatever reasons. And now, you know, we're dealing with that change. And it wasn't a comfortable change for us because I know these people very well for years and years and years and years. But, you know, God has allowed it to happen. He told us it was coming, and we prepared. But you know, just don't understand sometimes that change in the transition that is coming. And it's going to continue throughout the rest of this year, but it's going to be from this point on for the good, for the better in our lives. And what that means, this is why we put the title out, Trust. And that's why we're going to use the book of Proverbs, because I know that we all can say this and we all have said it and you continue will say it. But realistically, I don't know if you understand what you say, because how you say it, God takes it serious. How He said it, it's serious. So everything that is written in these words that we're going to cover today, just real quick, like, you know, I'm not going to break it down in the depths that we could. I'm going to save that for the forgiveness project, because that's going to take a couple of weeks to get out there, because I know that it's necessary, especially for what God is about to do for us in our ministries, the growth that He wants to bring. Change has to come. We have to be prepared. We have to do what's necessary, and we're believing for what God is going to substitute now, because He never makes change if it's someone or something that He's not already prepared to replace with. Do you understand what I mean? And what I mean by that, some of you don't understand that when your position has to come to a change, God has positioned that for change. And there's reasons for the change, but most of us don't realize it's for Him. It's never going to be just for you. It's always going to be for Him and you. And this is why it's running course. So we're going to start with the book of Proverbs chapter 3. And the title, Trust, and we're going to start with verse number 5, because, you know, we're in the season of transitioning. It's happening. It's running its course, and it's not comfortable. And, transitioning oftentimes brings a shaking, and that will be shaken, and that's us. Doesn't mean we'll be removed. But if removal that has come, thank God for what He's doing. We pray for those. We never forgive them. I mean, forget them. Come on, say amen. Our doors are always will be open to them. We never refuse anyone. And we leave the past where it belongs. How many know your past belongs exactly right there in the past? So in what we're, as we're seeing in the transition, as we're seeing what's running in course, what God is going to again speak to you is the posture of your heart because of transition. Because of the change, because of what's running course. Here the Word of God says, trust in the Lord. Proverbs 3, King James Version. Trust in the Lord with what? With all your heart. And lean not unto you thy own understanding. I don't know if you know what the word trust represents here, but it's a word that means to be confident in the Lord. It also means to be bold. In the Lord, bold. How many know what boldness is? Boldness means I'm not ashamed, as Paul the Apostle said, of the gospel, because it is the power of our salvation. You know, I'm not ashamed to let people know who I am, what we do. My neighborhood knows us. All my employers knew it. The first thing I let them know, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, and this is what I need. What I need, what I mean, what I need is that these are the days off I'm required to have, because this is my belief system. And if you can't accept that, well, then I'm sorry. And that's what how I represent myself. However, when I go into a place, like even to my own friends' ministries, I'll never, ever let them know who I am. I just walk in, and I'll sit in the back until they call me out. Because I'm okay with that, because it's not about titles with me. It's not about my position and how long I've been positioned. To me, what it's about is who's positioned me. I don't walk as a pastor. I walk as a son. I am a child of the Most High God. And I've learned to walk as a child of the Most High God. I have one that has already proven how we can walk like. And that is our Savior, Jesus. And his last name isn't Christ. It's called Jesus the Christ, the Anointed One. And I know that we're anointed today. How many believe that we're anointed today? No. How many believe we're anointed today? See, I say we. I believe I'm anointed by God today. This is why I know that the things I speak, the things that I pray, the things that I will prophetically speak will come to pass. That's how you know that a prophecy is true. And I know that when I see what I see according to the will of God is because we're anointed. And I said we. How many know what we means? All of us are anointed by God. And we have an anointing in our lives. And that anointing is to destroy yokes, is to bring freedom. How many thank God for the freedom we just celebrated? How many really thank God for the 4th of July remembrance? Thank God for our military. Thank God for those that gave their lives for us. But I also thank the Lord that morning for what he did for us. Now, being that our example, are you willing to lay down your life for someone else? The word of God says it, that there's no greater friendship than we have, that one will lay down their life for us. Will you lay down your life for somebody you don't know, somebody you don't like, somebody that's hurt or harmed you, somebody that's spoken evil of you, somebody that has caused division upon you? Will you lay down your life for that person? Because that's what Jesus did. And I'm talking, he did that even for those that say they know him, which actually they didn't know. They just knew about him. And that's the church today. We don't really know what we think we know. And God would have it that we be not ignorant. Come on, somebody. You know, so in that anointing, we have to learn to how to operate or walk in it. And it's going to come with this called trust. 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 He tells us this continuously. Trust in who? In him. And we say we do. But look at your actions. Because your actions tell you what you really do represent in that word called trust. And we know today that it not only means to be confident, it means to be bold. A third definition is to be secured. Many of us believe that our education should be our security, but I got news for you. That's going to disappear one day. Many of us trust in our careers. That's going to disappear one day. Sometimes we have too much security in our spouses. Not that it's going to disappear. And I'm going to give you a secret, Brother John. We're not always right. And I'm confident we're not always right. However, I'm never wrong. So you got to learn how to walk like that. All right? But I've learned about security. I've learned that by all the experiences that God allowed to come in our lives, starting from the get-go of salvation and all that we had to see and go through and all that was allowed, especially when your car's breaking down and you have no secure job and you have no secure income and our church was not around the corner. Our church that we had to drive to was 30 miles away, and, you know, and we gave up everything that God took us out of. And when he took us out of what he took, it broke us to we need help, and my car needs help, and we need to eat and all that. And this is what I've learned when our pastor had to tell me, you got to learn to trust in the Lord. He gave me this word right here. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You see, because your heart is evil, people. The Bible says your heart is evil. And you got to learn to understand when the psalmist David, King David, said, "Create in me a new heart." When he spoke that, it's resounding that if we don't realize that we need our heart transplant. Because our heart, if it hasn't been broken by somebody, a puppy love in the beginning of life, puppy love. How many know what puppy love is? Huh? Yeah, we get a little puppy and we love them, right? No, that's not what I'm talking about. That first one that your Google eyes, your eyesight gets involved in love with, and life happens after that. So, you know, that puppy love, and when it doesn't work out, because number one, we're too young and we don't know any better. And how many know that we always think we know better? And sometimes the parents were right. Come on, say amen. And so to understand this about our heart, it says, I have to put myself to be secured in God. And I have to ask you this morning, look at your heart. Are you really secured in your heart in God? Do you know that if Jesus came right now, do you know where you're going? Because he's coming. When he does come, you have to be without a spot or a blemish. You cannot walk in the ways that the Lord has, that the church is teaching today. The Lord already taught the way. Come on. They say Jesus was perfect, right? Well, he's the Son of God, right? Well, how many of you realize that you are sons of God? You are daughters of God. So to say the opposite, well, here's the cop out. I'm only human. Well, he was human. Jesus walked as an actual human being. So he's our greatest example. So when he's coming to tell us in these days, because greatness is coming. How many know what greatness is? Remember, we've all want to win the lotto. We all want to be the best that we can be. We want to be sitting in the highest position when it comes to careers, having the best bank accounts, having so much real estate and all that. And you know, all that makes it look good. Doesn't bring what we think we need, because, you know, I've seen too many people that God blesses and they forget who blessed them. Because of trust in the Lord has to come back because of the heart. And I don't know today how many of you know that. It says not to lean onto your own understanding. Verse number 6 now, Proverbs 3. But in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he what? He will what? He shall direct thy path. Verse number 7. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Fear the Lord. Reverence the Lord. That's the fear that he's talking about. And as we go, we have to come to the point and say, you know, about posterity of our hearts. I don't know if you know this, but Psalms 37 and 23, go there. Psalms 23 and 37 and 23, it lets us know about how much security I have in God. How much boldness will I have in God? And how much confidence will I have in God? Because 37 tells me what? Of the book of Psalms. Verse number 23. Do I have somebody back there? Psalms 37. Look, what does it say? The steps of what? Are what? Are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. How many know that when you, in your heart, you say you trust in the Lord, that you have to learn for him to order your steps? This is why today, and you know, we will be found at the wrong place at the wrong time. How many understand that statement? They were at the wrong place at the wrong time. Well, I have news for you. God's people will never be found at the wrong place at the wrong time, because God's people, and we don't know who that will be. I'm hoping it's us. How many know that you can trust him to order your steps? Didn't he say delight yourself? In Proverbs, here you say he delights his way. This is why we see that we're so troubled. Even though you have your house, you have your car. Even though you don't have your house, you don't have your car. You have a bank account, you don't have a bank account. We see the distress on both sides of those. Why? Because and we call ourselves Christians. And I want you to know, Christian today. I am not a Christian. I am professing that I am not a Christian no more. I'm putting that away. I'm listening to me, church. Don't judge me, because that's all we can do is judge. No, I am a believer. You want to know who I am? I'm a believer, and I belong now. And what do I belong to? The one that has called me, the one that has spared me, the one that is with me. So in that, you can say, that's Christianity. Yes, you can call it that, but they call Islam, they call Mormonism, they call all these other religions Christianity, but I am not like them. I don't believe like them. So I have learned, I'm putting Christianity down, and if you ask me, I'm a believer. I'm not a believer that I can fly. I believe I can fly. I don't believe in that unless you buy me a ticket to a good airline. Come on, church. This is serious this morning. This is good. Humor is good, right? It does good like a cure. And we need cures today. Amen. Amen. We're praying for that prostate surgery. We're praying that God will do the surgery before the surgery. Oh, you didn't hear that? A surgery before the surgery. Oh, come on, Jesus. We need you this morning. But again, having confidence. How many really have confidence in God this morning? Because if you do, you did right by saying, God, order my steps, because the steps of a good person. Okay, that means women too. Don't ever think that that's not including the female when it comes to God's word. He orders the steps. And I don't know if you learned this yet, but I'm going to tell you experiences. I've ended up in wrong places because he didn't order my steps to that direction. I don't know. I ordered my own because I wanted it so bad. How many know what I'm saying? What that means, I'll give you a quick highlight of that. What it meant is I wanted a certain job so bad, and I got the job because that's what faith does to us. Faith really moves when I want something. Right? When I want something, I didn't ask God to order my steps. I didn't ask God what his thoughts was. I just wanted that position because my friend worked there. And he looked happy. But I didn't realize my friend doesn't go to church. I do. He's still my friend. Oh, you didn't catch that. And then I got the job not to realize that it's taking me away from church now. It took me every Sunday away. They put me on the worst schedules. I'm not in church. I don't see my family in church. But I see my friend. Right? That's a plus somewhere, right? I see my friend. Only to find out he misses a lot. Because he's not a believer. And he doesn't believe like I believe that I give my 100%, not 110, 100% to what I commit to. Well, come on, church, are you listening? And so the frightening thing is that we don't understand about having security in Christ like we think we should, because when our eyes see what we see, and then it turns into a want, not especially if it's not a need, we put ourselves in positions that we will now become the God rather than the God he is. Because we want it our way. And how many know that we're not here for our way? We're not here except for one reason. And that reason is to see our Lord God. And the most difficult part is to trust in the Lord, to order our steps. And the reason that it's difficult to have confidence, to be bold or insecure, is because we can't see what God sees. You see, you can't see your future, but he's already planned it. This is what the hint. He gave you a hint. The Apostle Paul says to the church of Philippi, the Philippian church, he says, press toward your mark, not my mark. I have a mark. We have a mark. My children see the mark. Come on. You that are close to us see our mark. And what we do is we keep pressing toward that mark. How many know that mark has to do with the cross? This is why he said, pick up your own cross. Jesus said, you pick up your cross and follow. Come on, because your cross is not the same. All our crosses are not identical. We all have a specific journey to walk. And that journey is going to lead you to the cross itself. And if I'm going to have the confidence, and I'm going to be that one that we're reading in the book of Proverbs chapter 3 once again, if I'm going to be bold, and if I'm going to be confident and I'm going to have that security, I have learned, we have learned, no matter what, this walk is not going to please everybody around us. This is why I said, hey, it doesn't matter who's going to show. What matters is you send the invitation, and those that love you, they will be there. Unless they have other plans, which many have. I knew about it a while back ago, and I was planning to attend it to the other location, but now it's changed to this location. So we're going to, and I already planned it in my calendar. In fact, I was going to be gone the week of that week. But because I made a commitment, I was going to be back by Friday or Saturday morning, that I will be in attendance, because I made a commitment. Not that I can't cancel. Not that he's Mr. John. He already knows me, man. I'm sorry, bro. My life is more important. A little humorous. He laughs. But because we can't see it, it's the most difficult position in life, in that trusting in the Lord, having him order our steps. Because when he tells you to press towards your mark, he does it for a reason, because he's got a high calling for you. But what you can't see is what he sees. You don't see yourself at that level that he's called us to. And I want you to know that he's probably already revealed it to a lot of you who you call. In fact, my wife thought I flipped out before Christ, which I did many times. I ended up in places I shouldn't have ended up. But there was one time I woke up and I told, and I said, hey, I just dreamt. A weird dream. Unsaved, living together in sin, putting things in our body that should have never been in our body. But I hear I had a dream, and I'm about to share it with that one I think is important in my life, right? I said, you're not going to believe this, but I saw myself preaching in a white suit, and there was a lot of people. And her response is, oh, you flipped out. She'll tell you, you flipped out. And I said, yeah, I flipped out. And literally, I did flip out down the road. And then it got to a place down the road that, thank God for those that plant a seed, like we're planting seed. You don't have to do this. You don't have to put your trust in God. You don't have to let him, ask him to order your steps. I'm so fanatical with my God, because he's my father, which I never knew. Because I never had one. So I've learned to be my Father, which art in heaven. And hallowed is his name. Come on, say amen. And I've learned to let him order my steps. I always ask him, you know, I'm prayer. I'm looking for the vision. I'm listening. I'm reading. I said, God, if this is how you want it, you will order my steps and you will reveal it. Just like he's the one that called me to speak this word. He's the one that called me to preach, even when I was not saved. But I've learned that all of us were called before we all were conceived. He already knew our name. He already established us to be in this earth, to be in this place, on this day, here in this man, because God orders us what he desires of us. He's not through with us. Come on, say amen. And yes, you may have made 1,000 mistakes, and you're probably going to make one more after that. It doesn't matter. What matters is that you hear the word, understand what trust means, press toward your high calling, and God will fulfill what he promised. But it's going to take us to concede to it. Say amen. Come on, man. He's got great things for us. We just got to attain it. We just got to learn to let things go. How many know what that means? My wife wants the credit all the time for this, so I'm going to give her the credit because she does get this credit. I was used to renting. See? And I've learned today that's the right concept, because we're talking about it today. You know, we don't own nothing. I said, we can pay the house off, but I still got to pay the government taxes every year. And if I don't pay it, they take it away. So in the reality, we don't own nothing. We don't own it. Can't do what we want. So renting was the right option. Hello, somebody. Let that person pay for the taxes. a little humor there, but I'm not against renting. I'm telling you right now. I'm not. Not today. In fact, we struggle. Why don't we just sell our house, get that money, invest it, and let it triple? And we'll just live off the vida loca, right? We'll live the life off the interest, and we'll just pay somebody rent. Because we can't do what we want. It's our home, but we can't do it. We don't own it, even though we can pay it off. But we still got to pay taxes. And the worst part is, we trust in the Lord because he makes a way no matter what. And the worst part is, they're charging us money on money we didn't receive. Thank God for our government. What does that mean to you? We're being taxed on a cost that we haven't received. We didn't pay what you're taxing. You're taxing us on $678,000. We didn't get $678,000 for our home yet. We didn't even pay that price. But they're charging us for something we haven't received. Talk about a scam. Man, but thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Come on, because what they can't take and do to us is what God says for us. And one thing he's saying to us is examine our hearts again. Examine, because we're in the month, what, of rest? This is rest time. The seventh month is rest. He created on the sixth month. He created, or the sixth year, or the sixth day, whatever you want to call it. He created man, but on the seventh, he rested. Come on, somebody say amen. And I don't know if you know what today is. Today's what? The sixth. And today's word that fell on the sixth is that we created. But we're in the seventh month, which means rest. It actually means perfection and completion. You know, he's completing us. Come on, how many remember Jerry Maguire? You complete me. You, my love, complete me, Deborah. We just never agree. So we've learned to agree to disagree. Come on. Again, she's right, I'm right. I'm wrong, she's right. But getting to the place where our heart, because Jeremiah 33:3, put it there. Jeremiah 33:3. Listen to the God we serve, because concerning our hearts. How many know he is concerned with our hearts? Because if he wasn't, he would never write about the heart. He would have never written about our hearts. He's been watching you since you were born, and all the tragedies, all the mistakes, all the shortcomings, all the victories, along with all the defeats of life. He's been watching and watching and watching, and here we are, because we have to understand we're at a place. This is what he's telling us today, because some of us, as we said, fear, right? Reverence, but the fear that we should not be clinging on to, which we do. Some of us have so many memories of your past, you need to let it go now. Because if you don't, God cannot bless you to the place he's called you to be blessed. You see, you're always trying to work it out on you. You're trying to do it your way. You're trying to work it out. I've learned, let him do it. What I've learned that I can do, because I'm dealing with the word of God right here. I'm dealing with what I don't understand, what I cannot see, what I need to know, because it's concerning my heart, because of anxiety, because of fear, because of stress, because of that, because of this. I got to learn that he's telling us on 33:3 of Jeremiah, call to me and I will answer you. I mean, no, you have a prayer answering God. No. How many of you know that you have a prayer answering God? And he says, I'll show you great and mighty things which you do not know. You haven't seen the things that God has in store for his people. But if we can come to the place, because it's going to take us right back, do you trust me? Do you trust me? Is God. I'm not asking you to trust me. Don't trust me, because I'll fail you. Come on. But do you trust him? Because you can call on him. And he's going to show us great and mighty things. And then he's going to show you Stop looking in the natural, because that's all the things you know. That's all you can see is the natural man. In the scriptures, it talks about many great stories, and God put those stories, especially when it comes to the goodness of God fighting the warfare for us, because He's already won the battle. But we can't see it. All we can see in the natural, when the man of God was being warned about by his servant, because his servant was in the natural, but the man of God was in the supernatural. The man of God had to hear from the servant. He said, oh, my God, they're coming for us. There's only two of them. But you got hundreds of warriors out there. You got the chariots. They're all filled. You got the soldiers. Their spears with their shields. They're coming for us. What are we going to do? Sound familiar? We fall apart at a bill. After hearing about those children, what we're facing right now is nothing. The parents, what they're facing. God forbid any parent have to go through that. Come on, somebody. But it has happened. And it's going to be where our God's going to get blamed for it. Do you understand that? And it wasn't our God. But thank God, we can pray for them. Come on. And the servant, it was panicking, because that's what we do. We like the anxiety, the stress. Panic mode takes its course. What are we going to do? And that's what he said. And the man of God, just patiently sitting in his table, says, go see behind them. And he went, and he saw behind them was thousands and thousands of angel warriors. And that's where we can say, if God be for us, who can be against us? Come on, are you here? And we gotta close you out with this, Psalms 23. You should know this one by heart. Psalms 23. The greatest Psalms. You should memorize it as we begin to close this out now. If you can see what the Lord is saying and see through the eyes that He has given us to see in the way He has asked us to see, you'll understand this Psalm of David who can really write things on it. Because before his kingship, he was running for his life. Before his kingship, he was running from his life from the ones that he was protecting and being used for as a protector, as being used as one that could draw the demons out of him as a protector. And now he's running and needs the protection. So when he says these things, he says it out of pure confidence. What does that mean? Pure trust. And he was out of pure boldness. What does that mean? Pure trust. Out of being so secured, even though they're after me. You got a kingdom after you. Not just a certain individual. Not just a certain employee or employer. Not just a boss or a neighbor giving you issues. You got a whole kingdom after you. So he was competent. He had boldness. And he was secure. Trust. He had trust. And he said it like this. The Lord is my shepherd, my guide, my hope, the one I'm confident in. And I shall not want, meaning I shall not lack. He's in a cave hiding. They don't know where they're going to eat. If you know the stories, they were hungry and they had to eat corn stalks out of somebody's field. He was hungry that he even accepted the shoe bread out of the priestly places, and that's illegal back then. But you know, when you're called by God, God will direct you and what you can and can't do, because David trusted in the Lord. He says, he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's verse 2. Number 3, he restores my soul. And how many know we need restoration of our soul? Come on. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. See, he leadeth. That's when he orders your steps. He's going to order it in the righteousness that we are covered with. Though your sins be a scarlet, Isaiah the prophet wrote, you shall be made white as wool, as snow. Number four, he goes, yet, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, though I'm being tested in life in many ways, I will fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. Your rod and your staff, everything that's about you, comfort me. Are you listening, church? And number five, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Oh, enemies. And then he goes on, thou anointeth my head with oil. My cup overrunneth. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And at the end of life, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, somebody. You should be thanking God for that right now. The word is trust. Do you trust Him this morning? Do you have confidence in Him? Are you secured in Him? Is your boldness in Him? Because the time will come that we have to share our boldness. And that boldness is, as we ask you to stand, that boldness, that rally I'm inviting all the church to attend, we're a part of that rally. We're investing in souls. And we just found out yesterday where the rally is being held at, where the stage is located, and the park is nice now. They've redone the park. But behind the stage area are some older, nice homes, and behind that is older, nicer homes, like a Victorian styles that we see in Redlands a lot. But behind in this community there's a lot of witchcraft and sorcerers living there. A lot of witches and sorcerers living there. I said, now I know why God's sending us right there. So on Friday nights, they go out to that area and they sacrifice their animals. We just found that out yesterday. I said, now I know why we're going. And I know why God called this man, because he doesn't know no better. Because if it was the church, they're not going to go there. Because we get too holy for God. No, that's not the will of God. Oh, yes, it is. Though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. He will lead us there. Come on. He will order our steps there. I said, no, we got this now, God. That's more exciting because now I know. See, I didn't know, but now I know. After I heard this, I go, this is you, God. This is you. Why? Because we're going to go take back what the enemy has stolen. But if you don't have trust, you can't take back what was stolen. Come on. That's a golden nugget there. Let us bow.